Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'yakrivu l'chanukas beis elokodino. Now we are describing the actual Chanukah Sabayis, the Bayis Sheni. So we learned yesterday the Pasuk before to Zayin, they rejoiced b'chedva. And now we have an actual record of what the korbanos that were offered on, at this time. V'yakrivu l'chanukas beis elokodino. It was offered in honor of the inauguration of the Beis HaLakadina, Torin Meah, 100 oxen, Dichrin, male. 100 Dichrin means 100 male oxen, Torin oxen, okay, we'll see the Rashi. Okay, Torin Meah, Dichrin, 100, with regard to the oxen, 100 sheep, Dichrin really means, what is it over here in the Mitsudos? Dichrin Elam, sorry, not male. Dichrin means rams. The idea is the rams are the male ones. Dichrin rams. Torin Meah. Dichrin Mosayin. 200 rams. Imrin sheep Arba Meah. Meah 400. The Utsefire is in goats. Licha To'ah. As sin offerings, I'll call Yisrael Tre Asar. Exactly 12. Why exactly 12? One goat, leminyan shifte Yisrael, one goat was offered on behalf of each one of the shvatim of Klal Yisrael. So we have over here a record of exactly, now obviously these korbanos, they have no precedent. These are hirasha. We assume it was done with the authorization of the Nevi'im Chagai Uzzachariah, because this was the Chanukah space Hamikdash, and there are things that are done by the Chanukah space Hamikdash that are not done, that record the Torah. It's interesting, I was told yesterday someone about a Chanukah Sefer Torah. I'm sure you all gone to Achnosa Sefer Torah. So what do they do by Achnosa Sefer Torah? They do things there that are not so simple. Now we don't do this today anymore, at least not in these communities, but it used to be they would lane. They would actually lane. Anyone ever see this? By Achnosa Sefer Torah, after you bring the Sefer Torah to the Beis HaKnesses, you lane from it. You lane, they do different customs. You lane in the Oino, the end of the Torah, or you lane Vayhi Ben Soa. I don't remember the exact, the different opinions of what exactly you lane. And I was even told that the Gra, it's recorded that the Gra, in his community in Vilna, when there was Achnosa Sefer Torah, and he was present, they laned. They did actually lane from the Sefer Torah. A lot of the poskim today do not allow this, because there's a question, if you ever lane from the Sefer Torah, you need to make a bracha. Anytime you have 10 people, you have to say to make a bracha. And if it's not instituted by Chazal to lane, to make a bracha, if it's not Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, a Titus Sibur, you have no right to innovate and make brachos in the Sefer Torah when it's not called for. And to lane without a bracha is also not proper. That's why there's a very big debate on Parsha Zohar, what to do. Many people, there are many shuls which have a custom where they have a special reading for women later in the afternoon. Many women have children, and they can't come early in the morning, they can't come Shabbos morning to Parsha Zohar, so they have a special reading for them after davening or in the afternoon where they come. It's very complicated. I remember hearing from Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he was very against this, because if you're going to lane from the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to lane unless you have a minion. It's catch 22. It's not proper to take a Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh unless you have a minion. And if you have a minion, then you're mechuyev to make a bracha. But you can't make a... No, mincha, you lane the parashas HaShavua.
I understand that, but once the Sefer Torah is out...
But you say the Torah is out to lane.
It's a different place.
Yeah, it's a
two different place.
Well, the women can come at mincha.
Or who's
going to make bracha?
The women will come. The women will come to mincha. And then what? They'll come to mincha, and you're going to lane the three aliyos in the parashas HaShavua.
And Zohar.
But you can't. You have to be golol. That's not part of the takana to lane the parashas Zohar. You have to be golol to parashas Zohar.
Less of an evil than make a separate.
But then you'll have to make a separate bracha for parashas Zohar when you. You're gonna roll to Parsha Zohar. It's not part of the Takana.
Not just they did that in the morning, poor morning.
What do they do?
They lay, but
then there's another Takana that you could be the Yev Yotza, the mitzvah of Mechia Samolek, Zechiras Mechia Samolek by the Shalach. So the Likriya Satorah, some say even the Megillah itself is a fulfillment of this requirement. But just as I want to bring out this idea that when you're dealing with, but when you deal with a Chanukas Habayis or a new Sefer Torah, you do have precedent, for, at least from here, from the Beis Hamikdash, from the Bayis Sheni, that there are things that are done differently that are not ordinarily done. But to illustrate this idea, we have an idea of learning for women Parsha Zohar. The poskim are very disturbed. It's anyway done. I think most shuls do it. The minig olam is to do it. But many poskim have protests that it's not proper to do because monafshach. You're not allowed to take out a sefer Torah unless you have a minion. So first of all, make sure you have 10 minyan present when you're learning for the women. So you should not be mezalzel in the kedusha of the sefer Torah. But now you have a new problem. Once there are 10 people present, really, al pi halacha, you should make a bracha when you lean from the parasha. But you can't make a bracha for one aliyah, just for a leaning that's not, has not been instituted, sanctioned by Chazal. That's also not proper. So you catch 22, you're stuck in the middle. You can't take out the sefer Torah unless you have 10 men. And when you have 10 men, you mechuyev to make a bracha, but you can't make a bracha because Chazal have not sanctioned making a bracha. Okay, so it's problematic. I can tell you with confidence that the minhag olam is to do it anyway. Yeah? Yeah?
What about
the mitzvah
boy is practicing?
Oh,
he takes out the
same. That's right. Okay, so maybe that's a very, it's also not so simple. It's also not a simple matter. It's also the minhag olam is to do it. You practice. So maybe I'm just saying this, svara. Practice is better than when you're trying to do it to mekayim a mitzvah. Because it's practice. So practice sachana. It's that's in a certain sense better. You want to be the kind of mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah to remember Achiyas HaMalach from the Sefer Torah. That's something that's more formal. If it's more formal, you need to do it in the proper way. 10 people, you need to make a bracha. You can't make a bracha. So, but practice might be different. That's achana. Yeah.
Growing up, I don't remember any Kriyas being late.
Okay.
Yeah. We never did.
The
reason we don't have it. You don't need it. The women come.
We don't have. We have only old ladies.
So they all come.
No, the old ladies are in shul.
Right, exactly. They all come. They all come. You don't need it. Exactly. Right, exactly. You don't need it. I'm talking about like a young community. The fact is, it's done. Okay, we know that. What? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Today, Noshim, they do a lot of things that are not mechuyev al pi halacha. If the women don't hear it, so the world goes on.
Rabbi Francis.
They don't have to hear it. You don't have to hear it. It's a chumrah. You don't make right, then you don't need to. But the women, they want to participate. They come. They want. They feel they need to do it. B'diyeved, if you hear parashas, you come on poor morning, you hear parashas. B'shalach is good. And even b'diyeved, just hearing the Megillah. Every woman hears the Megillah. So hearing the Megillah is also a fulfillment of this. The point I want to make, I want to bring out this idea, is that you see over here, taking a Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh is not a still matter, yeah?
What about reading the Amalek from the Chumash?
So b'diyeved, that's also good. That's also...
Is that better? Taking the Sefer Torah out?
Well, some poskim will say yes. Rav Palm will probably tell you yes. But, like I said, it's not the minhag olam. The minhag olam in most shuls is they take out a Sefer Torah for women and they lane. They do have a minyan, they don't have a minyan. Some do, some don't. I've seen where they do have a minyan, but they don't make a bracha, of course. And there are many poskim that are not happy, and they're like, exactly like you said, they don't need to do it. Take a read from a chumash; it's good enough, and so on and so forth. But the point I want to make over here, is that I just want to show you that this is not a simple matter to take out a sefer Torah and start reading sukkim. Yet it's documented that by the Gedolei Yisrael in the previous generations, I have no idea why it's not done now, by a hachnosa sefer Torah. A new, brand new, you know, the ceremony, the parade with the torches and the children and flags and so on and so forth. Hachnosa Sefer Torah, it was the minhag to lane. On a Sunday morning, they lane, they take out the Sefer Torah, and they lane from the Sefer Torah. Could even very well be they made a bracha in some communities. You have to check the sources. Nitzi Gavril probably has every single record of when it was done, but definitely by the Gedolei Yisrael, they would lane. How could you lane? If Rav Palm is telling us that it's also to lane for Parsha Zohar, so what's the answer is? a Chanukas Habayis, an inauguration of something holy, is on a level by itself. It has a different set of rules. And you see that by the Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon, they even ate on Yom Kippur. Okay, could you imagine? No fast. Yom Kippur is cancelled this year. And it's mind-boggling. How could it possibly be that they ate on Yom Kippur? They worried. Their hearts, they were disturbed. Maybe we did the wrong thing. And then a baskel came out of Shemayim and said, you have done nothing wrong. Adrabi, you're supposed to eat. It was a celebration of 14 days. They went through Yom Kippur. I think they started on the seventh day of Tishrei. So it's 7, 8, 9, 10. They went 14 days, starting with the 7th day. They went through Sukkot, and they went through Yom Kippur, and they ate in the Chanukah space Hamikdash. And of course, they brought there, it's recorded there in Sefer Melachim, a whole list of Korbanos, which we have no record for. What? You just can't bring a Korban on the Mizbeach. It's Chulin Bazara. You're going to give sanctity to a Korban. One thing, you bring an Oila. All right, fine. But to bring a Chatas. A Chatas is eaten by the Kohanim. It's Kodesh Kodashim. And you offer on the Mizbeach. There's no such thing as bringing a voluntary Korban Chatas, a goat. And that's what's being done over here, even in the time of the Bayis Sheni, whose Kedusha is much diminished from the Kedusha of the Bayis Rishon. We don't have the Nevi'im like we had in the Bayis Rishon, but yet there were Nevi'im, Chagai and Zechariah, and it was done. That's something, a very important point. You see this concept that a Chanukah, an inauguration, has a different set of rules. It was true by the Bayis Rishon, it's true by the Bayis Sheni, and even to a certain degree with Zman Hazeh, it's done by a Chanukah Hachnosa Sevter. I even asked someone, what's the heter? I was arguing with someone, even yesterday, we were talking about this in the afternoon, in the evening, with Atung Talmud Chacham, by Achnosa Sefer Torah, they take all the Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh to be Kabbalah Sparim, to the street Kabbalah Sparim. So I said, you know, it's Pashut that it's done, and this is the way it's done. Who says you're allowed to do this? You go look in Shulchan Aruch, the laws of taking the Sefer Torah out of the Aron. Sefer Torah, it's very chomer. You're not just allowed to take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron for just to dance around, to play, to dance. So if tells him, no, it's the Kavanah Torah. You're coming to Mechaber, the new Sefer Torah. I said, what kind of... I said to him, if it was not done, if it was never ever done, and someone would come and want to make an innovation, I have a great idea. We're going to have a Chnosa Sefer Torah. We have a new idea. We're going to take out all the Sefer Torah from the Aron Kodesh, and they're going to be Mekabel upon them the new Sefer Torah. You would tell me, Osir, Osir, Chodosh, Osir min HaTorah, it's Shalek HaAlocha, you'll prove me, you'll bring 20 Rayas from Shulchan Aruch, that to do such a thing is categorically forbidden because Zil's in the covenant of the Sefer Torah. But no one blinks. Because this is tradition. This is Minhag Yisrael. I have no idea where it started. What?
So-called don't like. Where did it start?
I don't know. I really don't know.
That dancing on some Chassidur itself with all this.
Exactly, exactly. It's another example. Exactly. Well, so that's well, that's Hakafas. And you're taking out the Sefer Torah of the Aron, you're doing Hakafas. I don't know the answer. Maybe it could very well be that really will start when you're taking out the Sefer Torah to lane from. Because you're taking out the Sefer Torah to lane, and as you take it out, so then one thing led to another. The whole thing was, you know, a slippery slope. I think the Ikar Takana was you take out the Sefer Torah to lane, and on the way to the Bima, you go around seven times. So that's not it's on the way to lane. That also was a Chiddush. And then one thing led to another. Things say that are really bizarre.
That's more the Kovod HaYom.
But in a Chanani, but you're right. That's an interesting. But the point is that you see that when it comes to an inauguration, a Chanukas Habayis, Hachnosa Sefer Torah, it's a different set of rules. And that's the only point I want to make over here. Derech Agav, I'll just tell you something that's very, very interesting. One of the few times in my life where I told someone to do something, I gave someone advice, and they actually listened, was with regard to Hachnosa Sefer Torah. I had someone I knew, much older than me. He, a very wealthy person, he purchased a very expensive Sefer Torah. He had a commission, the Sefer Torah, and he was asking me all of the minhagim, the custom of doing all the various things that you do by Hachnasa Sefer Torah. So I said to him, you know, I've been to a number of these, not that many, I've been to a few of these, and when I was very little, very, very young, I vaguely remember going to Hachnasa Sefer Torah, and there was something which made a very strong impression on me. I've never seen this done all the years. What was it? they dressed the new Sefer Torah in the mantle of the Yomim Noiraim. Many times, you know, you buy a Sefer Torah today, you can buy a set. The white and the blue, or the green, the red, the multicolored, okay, whatever it costs. So they get right away, when you buy it, you right away get the set. So it was the middle of the winter, a freezing day like today. It was on a Sunday, in the middle of December, January, February, whatever it was, far from Rosh Hashanah, as you can get. And they dressed the new Sefer Torah in white. And when they came to the shul, all of the Sefer Torah, multicolored Sefer, they came out in the Kabbalah. You knew which one was the new Sefer Torah. It was like a kala b'yoyim chupasa. Like a kala, a new Sefer Torah. So I thought it was beautiful. I was a child. It's like, wow, like, you know, that's right. It's a kala b'yoyim chupasa. And all of the other Sefer Torah are being makabel upon him. I'll tell you in a chiddush lehalacha that is incredible. I didn't see this inside, but I heard a shir about all the laws of finding a psul Sefer Torah. Maybe you've heard this. That if you find a psul in the Sefer Torah, this is from the Rambam. I didn't see this inside, but I've heard this from a very reliable source. I don't know where to even look to find this. If you find a psul in the Sefer Torah, a new Sefer Torah, the first week. Achnas Sefer Torah is on Sunday. And the following Shabbos, they lane from it from the very first time, and you find the psul. There's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. Do you take out a new Sefer Torah on Shabbos? So you say, of course you do. Sefer Torah is pasul, not a new Sefer Torah. It's a chosin, it's like sheva brachos. And just like you have a lacha that you don't inspect nigun chosin that has a negat saras, you don't bring a chosin with a negat to the koyin to be examined because he has a negat saras. A new Sefer Torah that has a problem. I don't know all the parameters, all the laws, maybe told through the Rambam, but anyway holds that a Sefer Torah that's possible is kosher. You don't look. There's a problem? No, so let there be a problem. You still lane, you continue laning, because a new Sefer Torah is like a chassan during a Sheva Brachas.
Only for the first week?
Only the first week.
No Shana Rishon.
Only Sheva Brachas.
It's
the first week. It's the first week. Don't make problems for the chassan. So it's a raya, the Sefer Torah is like a kalam, Yom Kupasa, should be dressed in white. Okay, so I told him, I said it was beautiful. Like that's the way it should be. It's a kala. It's a chasan kala. So I told this to this person. I thought for sure he wasn't going to listen to me. I was shocked. I come to the Achnas Sefer Torah, and it was dressed in white. And they parade. They had a parade in the street. They came to the shul, came out all the other Sefer Torah, yellow, green, and blue, and red. And the new Sefer Torah was white. And the Rav himself, in his drasha, when he gave the drasha, he said, the Sefer Torah is dressed in white. It's a kala b'yoyim chupasa.
Now we know where it's.
No, it's not. But I just want to.
Know the origin.
There's something to the beginning. Chanukas habayis, and that is the only point I want to make here in Pasuk Yitzayim. V'ikrivu l'chanukas space elokodino. Tarin Meya, Aksin 100, Dichun Rims, Mosain 200, Imin Sheep Arba Meya 400. Now that's not such a kasha, because these are probably oilos. New oilos, you do whatever you want. You want to bring oilos, bring as many oilos. There's no problem. You can bring new davos. But this is totally off the charts, what it says now. Utsefire Izin, goats. Okay, tzir means these are two words which mean the same thing. I don't know if it's but tzipi. We have that in Daniel. The tzifirei izin. These are two words which mean the same thing. It's an expression. It means goats. A sawyer is a goat. A male goat. Chat lichatoya for sin offerings. What were the sins? I guess the sins for the Churban Beis Hamikdash, 70 years, there was no, for 18 years they have already been offering korbanos. But I guess the fact, the Chil Hashem, that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and the Klal Yisrael were dispersed, Al Kol Yisrael Trei Asar 12, Leminyan Shiftei Yisrael. That's also very significant, is that we're not giving up on the Aseres HaShvatim. Isn't that amazing? Who's coming back here? Primarily, Yehuda ben Yamin. And Levim and Kehanim. Levi, really three Shvatim. Levi, Yehuda ben Yamin. The Aseres HaShvatim, they're gone. They're goners.
You said there was some that came from
there. Oh, exactly. So we're giving them chashivas. We're not giving up. They represent their entire shevet. You might say that they're already 100. It's been now 175 years, at least 175 years, 180 years since they've been exiled by. Think about it in modern times today. Go back 185 years. That you know, like we don't even relate to that time anymore. Like we think of that, like you know, we go back. We can't even grasp how far back that was. We read about it in history books, but it's not relevant to us. It's hard for us even to go back 50 years. No, we didn't give up on them. Ad kedei kach that we bring korbanos for this segment of Klal Yisrael. We're not giving up on the Aseres Hashem because according to one opinion in the Gemara, they're gone for good. They're never coming back. Okay, but other chazal, no, they are coming back. There are small pockets of them coming back. No. L'trei asal, l'minyan, shifte, we make that emphasis for Klal Yisrael. Let's do the pasuk. What?
It's a
problem. Okay, let's see the Mesudas then. Okay, let's see the right away then.
Sin was.
Oh, good. Let's see. Pasuk Tezayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Toirin is Parim, a bulls. Dichrin as Elim are rams, Imin are kvasim, Vitzipar, Vitzirizim, Lachat, Lachatos, Ba'avur, Kol Yisrael, Im Shleichazhu, even though they did not return by Sheinikim, Yehuda bin Yamin, even though they did not all return, we're not giving up on them. They're still, we're offering 12 chatois, Lemin, Lefi Mitzvah, Shifta Yisrael, Vyabra Abbasin, Zoran Lavracha, Shais Harasha, that this is a Harasha. Through the Nevi'im. You're not allowed to do this. Who gives you a shus to go bring a chatos? 12 chatois, even for shvatim that don't even exist, that haven't even really come back? Hayro asha ki ein chatos boha b'nedava, does not come b'nedava, but that's the koyach of an inauguration, Chanukah, Samizbeach. And I'll give you another example. The Holy Yontif of Chanukah is all about this. Chanukah, we commemorate the miracle of the shemen. Why did they need to bring shemen? That's tar. Tumo chutra b'tzibur. If you have a situation in the Beis HaMikdash where everything is tameh, there's a principle in the Gemara all over Shas, tumra chutra b'tzibur, tumra dechuyah b'tzibur. So they can take oil that's not clean and they can light the menorah. They do not need oil that is 100% tar. So why do we have to have a holiday of Chanukah to commemorate the Chanukah's HaMizbeach, the Chanukah of the menorah? The Beis HaMikdash was bottled for 25 years. Practically 25 years, the Beis HaMikdash was, there was no korbanos, it was shamein, it was just like the weeds were growing in the Beis HaMikdash, under the control of the Syrian Greeks. And now the Yevanim, now the Chashmonaim overcame the Yevanim, took back the Beis HaMikdash, they made a makeshift menorah with their spears, and they couldn't find oil, everything was tamei, they lit, a miracle happened, they found one flask of oil that's tar. So the Mefarshim give the same answer, that it's true, the Shas, it's true, Tumu Chudra B'Tzibu, that's when it's not a Chanukah, when it's not an inauguration, a rededication. When you dedicate something from the very first time, it has a different set of rules. The oil must be 100% Tahar, and therefore it was unacceptable to use Shemen Tameh, even though Tumu Chudra B'Tzibu. That's when you're in business. You're open for business. When you're starting a new business, it has to be on a much higher level. Okay, let's see over here the Rashi. Let's see the Rashi pasuk Yud Zayin. V'ekrivu l'chanukah, sekrivu l'chanukah, bayezek bonus halalu v'hayru asha. Same things are asha. Hoisa. Okay, pasuk Yud Ches. V'hakimu chahanaya, and the kohanim established bif lugos hoin in their divisions. In their divisions. Two words which are very similar. It means in their divisions. The Kohanim and the Levim were divided into groups. Let's finish the pasuk. We'll discuss this in more detail. Concerning the service of Hashem in Yerushalayim. Kichsav Sefar Moshe as written. What? What do you pass in Yud Ches? Tichsav Sfar Moshe. What? The Mishmaros. The 24 Mishmaros, as was written in the Sfar, in the book of Moshe. Everything was done Lufi Moshe. Sefer Moshe. Let's see Pasuk Yudches in the Mitzudo, in the Rashi first. Yudches. V'yakimu kahana bif lug sehoin. Shoyo kahana mechalukim be'avodasam ulevim b'mishmaros. They were divided into their service and ulevim in the Mishmaros. Okay, let's see the Mitzudos. Pasuk Yudches. V'yakimu shemidu es hakahana v'alevim l'kif watches al avodas Elokim Asher b'Yerushalayim kifi Asher kasa b'sefer Torah Moshe hakoyhanim. Now, what does it mean in Sefer Moshe? In Sefer Moshe, nowhere does it say that they shall be divided into 24 mishmaros. We are all very familiar with the 24 mishmaros, especially from Tisha B'Av of the piyut of Chalatzelis Hasharoyin, where we mention by name each one of the 24 mishmaros and their exile, but and the chorban of their cities. But it doesn't say anything about 24 mishmaros in Sefer Moshe. So that's what the Mitzudos is coming to point out, that when it says here Sefer Moshe, means that the Kohanim, they do the Mizbeach, the Halavim Ledaber Bashir. The Kohanim, they bring the Korbanos, and the Levim play the musical instruments and sing as the Korbanos are being offered. It's all it means over here when it says Kisav Sefer Moshe, but also, of course, it means that they were divided into the various groups, and the Gemara tells us that David made originally 18 groups, not 24 groups. And then at a later point in time, one of the Nevi'im, I think it could be, it was even, who was, not, I don't remember, it was even during the time of the Bais Rishon, it was increased from 18, I don't remember the numbers, Gemara Masechta Tainus, maybe it was originally 16, then it went to 20, 24, but it went through different stages. It went through different stages until it finally arrived at 24 Mishmaros, and that's why in the picture books, Masechta Midos, you see there are 24 hooks, a lot of there were 24 cubbies, cabinets, everything was divided in the Mikdash into 24 because there were 24 different groups. Each member of Klal Yisrael was part of a Mishmar, and each Mishmar would serve, would alternate 1 week, and each Mishmar would be subdivided into 6 groups. So that would mean that a Kohen would serve approximately 2 days a year. And the same was true for the Levim, and the same was true for the Yisraelim. Everyone in Klal Yisrael was also seemingly divided into 24 groups, and when you got a call for Miluim, you would show up. You would show up at the Beis HaMikdash, and you would participate in a group of Yisraelim that would be mispalel in the Ezras Noshem at the time when the Korbanos were offered, and you would even fast. These were called the Ma'amados. So the Kohanim were doing the Avoda, the Levim were doing Shir, were singing musical instruments and playing musical instruments, and also were gatekeepers and were in charge of maintenance. They took care of all of the maintenance in the Beis HaMikdash, the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Yisraelim were there 24/7 in Kohelel. They sat the whole day and they learnt and they davened and they fasted during their Mishmar. There should be groups of Yisraelim there on site, being Isaac in Torah v'Avodah during the entire week. And everyone, Klal Yisrael, had to participate, had to serve in some capacity throughout their entire life. Okay, that's there's a very important point here that's mentioned over here in Bif Lu Goshoi Vilevoye Bimachle Kosher. I don't remember where I saw this. Either I saw this in the Art Scroll or I saw this in Rabbi Schwab. It's also published by Art Scroll of Schwab Sefer. And they emphasize what is the difference between these two words, biflu goshoin and machle koshoin. Now today there are different types of governments. There's communism, and there's socialism, and there's capitalism, democracy, all different approaches to division of labor. There is an approach, let's say communism, every single person is evaluated, what their skills are, what they're best at. You put to a person, you drive him crazy, you're trying to figure out what he, and he will be forced to do a certain function. Leave no room for mazel, for self-choice. You have to be assigned to do a very specific task. And then there's, like where we're used to in America, it's a free country, do whatever you want. No one's stopping you. Even if you're not good at something, if you like to do something, you know, you have a chance. Yeah, you work hard, you'll get what you want, or you know, there's mazel, there are a lot of things, but no one's going to force you to do what you want to do. So some want to say that. I'm just giving an extreme example of these two ideas, but some want to say there was a very great difference of an approach to Avodas Hashem between the Kohanim and the Levim. The Kohanim, you were divided into groups. Some people, you know, there are people that like to do Shechita. There are some people that like to do to bring certain types of korbanos. Some people, I only want to bring the ketores. I only like to do the menachos. I only like to do the zvachim. Everyone has a netiyah to do something different. By the kohanim, no one was forced to do anything. You're part of a group, and you're not assigned to any specific task. Everything was done by goyro, lottery. Show up in the morning, and we'll cast lots. And whatever your mazel is, that's what you will be assigned to do. The Levim did not allow anything to mazel. Everyone was evaluated and assigned a very specific task. What I'm saying is not 100% absolute, but some want to read this idea into the difference between these two words. Why, when it comes to Kohanim, do we have the word biflu gosoin, and with regard to Levim, do we have bimachli kosoin? So those who are medactic in language will tell you that the word machli kosoin is a much more precise, there's much more precision and assignment in division in this word. Which means every Levi in Klal Yisrael is divided into a group. In that group, you're subdivided into another group. In that subgroup, another group. And you are assigned a very specific task. Because you have been evaluated, this is what you will succeed, this is what you are good at, and this is what you want to do, and this is what you are going to do.
And it will be them if they were involved in Shira and all
yeah.
that, so not everybody is talented.
Exactly. So therefore, some people are better at maintenance, some people are carpenters. There's a lot of construction, there's a lot of maintenance that was taken care of in the basement. There's all the Levine, they did all the maintenance. You see what goes on today. So you go to some institutions, there are more maintenance men than there are people that are actually part of participating in the institution. You go to yeshiva, there are 10 people living in Kailo, and there are 20 people running around the building with walkie-talkies and keys. Ever see such a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, 20. So there are people. What do you do? I'm in charge of windows. I'm in charge of electricity. I'm in charge to make sure the heat is working. Everyone has their task. That's the Levim. The Levim were assigned very specific tasks. The Kohanim, no. Just show up. What are you going to do? Well, we'll give you a training course. You'll know how to do everything, and then we'll cast lots. Lottery. Whatever is meant to be for you will be for you. Maybe if you'll come early, you'll stand here. You can manipulate the system. You'll be more of a chance. You'll do one thing, another thing. But there's a lottery. It's a whole different approach. What?
This
is the Malbim. Okay, Malbim. Oh, so I probably then saw it in the art scroll. It's a whole different approach to Avodas Hashem. It's a whole different approach to life. Forget about Avodas Hashem. It's a whole different approach to life. And governments have, to go to China. They'll probably tell you exactly, this is it. This is what you're going to do. Go to not anymore, but you go and probably in communist Russia. That's exactly the way it was. You know, this is what you're going to do, and whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, then there will be no tomorrow. That's the way it is. But this approach trickles down in, you see here, in a difference of word. And it's not just a difference. The Malbim is saying it represents an entirely different approach to avoid the Hashem that chilek in the Kohanim and the Levim. Something subtle, but it's very, very big.
Yeah, but as you said, it's the same word.
Same exact, with no difference whatsoever. Okay, I am Pandal Latar.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a different. Same exactly. Well, obviously they're very similar, but why do we have two different words? Okay, we have to also remember that there were many more Kohanim than were Levim. There was a very small amount, so it could be, you know, we're missing. There's so much that we're missing. If we were living in these times, and we were living, we would read these psukim, the psukim would jump out of us like, wow, now I understand the pasuk. And we don't really, we've been missing history, what exactly was taking place. There was so many Kohanim, there was so much talent out there. So, no, Liz Mazel. Levium, you know, how many Levium do you have? You have 5, 10 Levium. So, you're going to do this. It's not necessarily that it was an approach in Avodas Hashem. Maybe it was just out of being practical. You only have a handful of Levim, so everyone is going to do a certain task. When you have Kehanim, there are many more Kehanim. Everyone wants to participate. No, there's this competition, so we have to come onto a lottery system. So that's another debate. Is it Hashkafa, or is it just a matter of practicality? Okay, but these are two different words which obviously carry a very great meaning, and it's also we just pass off Sfar Moshe. So the way we just said before that the Mitzudos says Sfar Moshe means obviously the Kohanim are not going to interchange, the Levim are not going to start doing the Avoda, and the Kohanim are not going to start singing Shir. But I think there's also this more emphasis that Ezra is like another Moshe. There's a lot of discussion. We'll probably come to that. We're coming soon. Now we'll really come to Ezra Perek Zion. Ezra, there are many Chazal compare Ezra to Moshe in many ways. Many similar expressions. Ezra was all Moshe was Allah Elohim. We have the Seichel, the Medrash. Ezra was Allah. He ascended from Bavel. And this pasuk in Yudches, it's interesting. It's really the end. We have not mentioned Ezra even once. Okay, almost of the pasuk Perek Zion. We haven't mentioned Ezra once. Perek Zion is now soon to begin. A few more psukim. And here we're leading into Ezra by mentioning Moshe, the Sefer of Moshe. Because Ezra is a continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what is that connection that we have yet to see? We'll come to a little later. Let's pasuk Yutes. Now this is very significant. They offered the carbon Pesach. In the entire Tanakh, it is only recorded 7 times that Klal Yisrael offered a carbon Pesach. I think Chazal said in the 40 years in the Midbar, they didn't offer a carbon. They only offered the first year and the second year. And the second year also, right? The second year, I believe they also offered. There's Pesach Sheni, but the second year in the desert, they also offered. After the second year, there's no record. And I think Chazal criticized them, why did you offer carbon Pesach? Oh, because there was no Mila, there was a Sakana, they had children. If you have a child and there's not a Bris Mila, you cannot offer a carbon Pesach. Why then did they not circumcise their children? Because there was no wind, and if there's no wind, it's Bikuach Nefesh. They did not offer Karbonis. Now, what about throughout the entire history after they came into Eretz Yisrael? So certainly, it says explicitly in the Pasuk, offer when you're talking about Yeshua, when they came into Eretz Yisrael in Gilgal, they offered Karbon Pesach. What happened then for the next hundreds of years? There's no record. Nothing. And the next time we have him, I don't remember all the details, maybe by Shmuel, maybe by Chizkiah, now we have it over here. Only a handful number of times in the entire Tanakh is it mentioned they offered a Karbon Pesach. And every time it's mentioned, that signifies that this was a critical moment in the development of Klal Yisrael. Just like the first parsha, Parshas Bo, it represents the creation, the formation of Klal Yisrael, and that was solidified with the offering of the Karban Pesach. Every other one of the 6 times where the Torah, the Tanakh mentions the Karban Pesach has been offered, it's telling us this is a significant moment in the development of the maturity of Klal Yisrael. Okay, I don't remember the details now. Maybe at some point I'll try to find it. But there's a very nice, I have a drush of how many lashonos of Gula do we have? So we also have 4. Then you'll tell me, no, they're really 5, because the Hevesi, the Chasam Sofer says they're really 7. Look very carefully, meaning the parashas for Era, there are really 7 Lashonos of Geula. So I have a drush somewhere, I have to recall it, is that those 7 Lashonos correspond to the 7 times in Tanakh where it's recorded they offered a Karban Pesach. And each word fits perfectly with the time. Okay, so Bli Neder, I will try to present that to you at some point. But here, we just want, at least at this moment in time, we have to take note that Ezra here is offering, that not Ezra, that Klal Yisrael now, after the Chanukah is complete, they're offering the first Karban Pesach. Vayasu ne'agoyla asa posach bi'arboso l'chodesh rishon pasik chof ki because he toharu ha'koyhanu ha'levim ve'ekeh ke'echod kulam toharim. They purified themselves. The koyhanu ha'levim like one. Kulam toharim. All of them, it's a beautiful expression, ke'echod kulam toharim. Three words. They were completely pure. Vayishchatu ha'pesach. They slaughtered the Pesach. L'chol b'nei ha'goyla. And for the brethren, the Kohanim, the Lohim, and for themselves. So let's see Pasuk Yutes and Chof and Rashi. Oh, very good, that's right, that's correct. We're going back to very, very, very correct. That's right, I forgot, we're going back to Hebrew because the offering of the Karban Pesach now represents a renewal, a rebirth, a renaissance in Klal Yisrael. So until now it's Aramaic, which is Golus language, and now the Karban Pesach, Geula, there's a switch in language. Pasuk Yutes and Rashi, Es a Pesach, Achshav, now, also Yisrael, Es a Pesach, B'yudal, B'disan, Zeh Habo, Achar Ador, Zeh, Shuhushlam, Abin Yibo, we learned yesterday that it was concluded on the third day of Adar. Right, you can make a good argument. No tachlin on the third day of Adar because it is the anniversary of the Chanukah of the Bayis Sheni. So now the following 27 days later, that's why it was Chodesh Adar, and now 14 days into Chodesh Nisan, 14 days into Nisan, we're now offering the Karban Pesach. Okay, v'lohem ula atzmam, and for themselves, pasuk chav. What it says ula atzman ulachem v'lohem. Who is Vayishchatu? So it says here the Kohanim and the Halavim. The Kohan, the ones that were doing the Shechita, and by the way, who is allowed to do Shechita? Shechita Kshera Bizar. And we're going to see that very soon again. That when it comes to Karbanos, the only thing that requires a kohen is from the Kabbalah of the Eilach. There are four parts to a karban: shechita, Kabbalah, where you receive the blood meklisharis, hoylacha, you convey the blood to the mizbeach, and zrika, where you sprinkle or pour the blood on the mizbeach. Four parts, critical parts, every karban. The last three parts require a kohen, but the first part does not require a kohen. So here the pasuk makes it clear, ki taharu hakohenim v'halavim ki echad kulam toharim v'yishchatu. They slaughter. Who is they? They is going back on both the kohanim and the levim. They also participated in the shechita because shechita is kshera. Not only is it kosher by a kohen, but it's kosher for a yisrael. So certainly a levi can do the shechita. So let's see. That's why Rashi is v'lohem for themselves. They also was done for themselves. Let's see the mitzudos pasuk yutes and pasuk chav. Bnei ha'goyla. Rotzolaymar Hashav Minagoyla Hitaru Tovlu Lotumos. They went to Nikvah Ki Echad Kish Echad Hamitaher Atzmo. Like one person that purifies himself, just like one person goes to Nikvah, so too the entire Klal Yisrael purifies. Shukuloi Tahar Kain Hoyu Kulam Tuhairim VaYishchatu. So here the Mitzudas makes it very clear. Halevim Shochatu. The Levim Shochatu. Now, how does the Mitzudas know that the Yishchatu refers to the Levim and not the Kohanim? Because look at the conclusion of the pasuk: VaYishchatu haPesach l'chol bnei hagoyla v'la'achayim haKohanim. So they slaughtered on behalf of the Goyla, the Yisraelim, and on behalf of the Kohanim, and for themselves. So since they're slaughtering on behalf of the Kohanim, the ones that are doing the slaughtering are the Levim themselves. HaLevim shachatu l'tzorech b'nei ha'goyla, u'l'tzorech ha'kohanim ha'chayim b'bnei ha'levi, u'l'tzorech atzman. Okay, you know, we're out of time, so we'll stop here now.